This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello, good evening. Welcome back to the Claret and Blue podcast. My name is Dan Rowlands and I'm joined this evening at 11:30 on Friday evening by Matt Kendrick. Matt, you look like you're in a hostage situation. We've not quite worked out your lighting yet. We are getting there. Are you okay? Are you safe? Are you well?
Send food.
Blink if you need help, etc., etc.
All right. Yeah, I've been trying to sort this lighting, but it just won't. I can't be arsed, mate, to be honest. Like I said, it's 11:30. We want to keep it tight, have a little chat about football. And if I look like, I don't know, something out of Bohemian Rhapsody video or something like that, then so be it. But it was a win. Feel the 3 points. Feel them.
Yeah, lovely stuff. We will try and keep this to 30 and be strict with time tonight because it's 11:30 on Friday. If anyone's catching up with us over the weekend, you know, obviously enjoy this at your leisure. And there's now an international break, so we will go in a bit more depth to the game we've seen and the performance in the next week or so. I did say there's a lot to talk about, and you said, "What is there?" There is a few kind of fleeting moments, but we'll mention. I suppose we'll start with, we'd usually start with team news, but let's kind of skim over that a little bit to save some time. But just generally, your opinion of the game, because it feels a little bit like an opposite to the Man City podcast that we were talking about, where that was like an encouraging performance and an unexpected point, kind of feeling more than that, and you know, signs of encouragement going forward that there is something there and we've changed the system a little bit and played on the counter. Whereas tonight, it's a bit like, forget about the performance. 3 points was all that mattered tonight. Let's just get the 3 points. Is that fair, do you think?
Did you get on our internal email today at work, did you get something that's asking you about sessions that help you go, there's a sleep specialist coming in next week?
Yeah, I saw that.
I thought all they need to do is just play tonight's game. And they, it was fairly drab. It wasn't one for the neutral, but I thought Villa were, I couldn't see a way we were going to score until we did score. But when we did score, I couldn't really see a way that Southampton were going to score. So I thought it was a fairly comfortable, controlled second half. But without us ever looking like we were going to go and get a second, but I didn't think we needed to. And then you do worry, don't you, the last 5 or 10 minutes that you think every Premier League team's going to have something in the locker where they can put you under a bit of pressure. But I thought Southampton were really, really poor. And I thought Southampton were probably poorer tonight than the team that we beat 4-0 last season. But you can only beat what's in front of you. I'm not sure that performance from Villa would have beaten too much of the Premier League tonight, but it beat the team that they were playing tonight. So it was good enough given the context of the start of the season. And that lifts us to 7 points, which, you know, it's still not good enough, but it's a step in the right direction after the Man City game.
There's a comment here from Jason. He says, "Evening, fellas." There's a few Australian villains watching as well, by the way. Obviously, a decent kickoff time for them getting up early. So they're now starting their day with the podcast. He says, "Evening, fellas. Would you take 10 similar performances if it meant we won more than we lost? Personally, I'd rather win ugly than lose pretty. Hopefully, we'll keep dripping improvements into our game." Kind of inclined to agree, to be honest. Like, football is about winning. You do want to be entertained and go and score goals. But, you know, we kind of say you kind of ground out the result tonight and it's kind of got over the line or scraped it or whatever cliche you want to use. But I'd much rather that than we threw it away 1-1 or we lost 2-1, which we've done in previous seasons gone by and previous games gone by where you do something silly and all of a sudden it's 1-1 and you go, both sides were rubbish tonight and we still only managed to get a point or we somehow managed to lose it. Both sides were poor tonight and we won. So who cares to an extent?
Yeah, I'd take 38 of them, mate, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
If we could get it, you know, there's been very successful teams that have been built on similar, you know. I think that it's one of those performances where if we're in form, you'd say, oh, that's good. We're a team that can actually win games even when we're not playing well. That probably was us playing well, is the slight concern. But we won the game. And there's so many times so far this season where we've been naive, or we've conceded stupid goals and we haven't kept clean sheets, or we've scored a goal and conceded straight after it and lost the momentum. Yeah. that I'll take it. I'll take it as a real kind of stable building block, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a great point. First clean sheet of the season as well, which is a nice little win for the defenders and Martinez as well. We'll touch on those in a little bit.
Is that what we call it? Is that right?
Big W, however you want to refer to it, whatever the kids are saying today, that's what it was. You've already mentioned it, the Southampton game last season, and we kind of hark back to that as one of the better games under the Gerrard regime so far. And yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at that and you think, you know, that's what Villa could be. That's what they can potentially be with a squad when everyone's ticking along nicely. And Coutinho played brilliantly that day. But we got 3 points for that win, and we got 3 points for tonight. You don't get extra points or bonus points for winning well or scoring more goals. So to a certain extent, I'm kind of just going to sit here tonight immediately after the game and go, well, we've won. I'm not going to analyse it to death and think, oh, we could have done this, we could have done that. And we will talk about some things that weren't great. I'm sure we will as we go through this podcast. But we've won, and you've got to just enjoy that, haven't you?
Yeah,
a side that's not won many games so far this season. If we can't at least be happy with 3 points, then what is the point of following football?
Oh, I'm chuffed because, like I said, I thought it was a game. I thought we'd scrape a win tonight. I thought we'd win 2-1. I thought it'd probably be more entertaining than that. But there's always at the back of your mind that we could come unstuck, and then any strides that we've made with that Man City game to suddenly get undone quickly. It's funny you say Coutinho against Southampton last time out. That was probably the best we've seen him at Villa Park in a Villa shirt. I thought he was decent tonight. I thought that's probably the best I've seen him probably since then.
Yeah.
Doesn't say much for what his form's been like. I thought he was a lot more involved, and I thought particularly first half, I thought there was a lot more going for us down the left than there was down the right. I thought we looked a little bit pedestrian with Young. I know, listen, I'm not digging him out. I thought he played well defensively, but I thought we looked a little bit pedestrian with Young and Leon Bailey down the right, particularly first half. But down the left, I thought Coutinho, I thought McGinn probably had his best game, albeit a very kind of blood and thunder, you know, getting his foot in, you know, trying to lift the tempo of a very, very quiet, you know, drab game. I thought down the left we looked bright, but having said that, I couldn't see a way that we were going to score. And then when it goes, you know, the fella next to me said, hang on a minute, I think they might have a look at this for offside. And I'm thinking, oh no, please don't. And then when they did,
it feels like every goal we score gets checked by VAR for something. Let's see if we can find a way to chalk this out. It's Aston Villa have scored, we can't allow that.
Yeah, but thankfully, you know, they weren't able to rule it out. And it's nice that we can still swear at VAR even when it's gone in our favour. I do like a rendition of whatever the phrase is against VAR. But yeah, I think it was, I mean, I'm probably glad that it was a little bit of a drab affair because I don't want this to last for an hour like usual. So I think you've still been a SWAT, haven't you, and written down about 10 things. But go on then, what else you got?
Well, to a certain extent, I mean, it's where you want to go with this. Do we want to talk about performances or as a whole, as a team or individuals? The Kamara injury, I suppose, is quite a big talking point. I've not really seen much since I've got back. I don't know whether you have. An alarm from Gerrard that he's worried about Kamara's injury, which I think he said a similar thing about Diego Carlos. He was worried about that injury, and we all know what's happened there. Surely we're not going to see two of our signings, basically our only two first-team players, come in and get the major long-term injuries, are we? Surely not.
Yeah, well, Gerrard's very different in Dean Smith, isn't he, with the way he discusses injuries, where if it was Dean Smith, Jack Grealish could be like, you know, plasters on both legs, you know, on crutches and stuff, and dressed like a mummy. And Dean Smith said, he's resumed light training. Whereas Gerrard tends to say how it is, doesn't he? And I can't remember what he described the Carlos injury as. I think it was worrying or concerning. And the fact he said the same again suggests that it might be more than just... Oh, I mean, I don't even know. I've been driving back. What has he actually done? What's he actually injured? Do we know?
So in an update to supporters, Gerrard said, I'm worried about it. It seems like every time we get 3 points, it comes with a cost. We'll scan him in the next couple of days. But yeah, I'm worried about it. And,
what is it though? Is it?
I should just put a knee injury. Is how he's referred to it. Stephen Gerrard says he's worried by the knee injury Boubacar Kamara sustained during Villa's 1-0 win over Southampton. Now Kamara's got a late call up to the France squad, isn't he? Because we talked about this the other day, wondering why him and Dean weren't in there. Kamara then got called up to replace Rabiot, I think it was. Right. I assume he's not going to go on international duty now if he has got a semi-serious injury. I mean, even if he's out for 2 weeks, that's enough to keep him out of France. So, yeah, it's a difficult one. You'd imagine those comments setting us up for a scan in the next few days and a three-month injury or something. I don't know. But, I mean, without speculating too much on kind of second-guessing what it's going to be, let's say it's 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever, it's kind of worst case, let's hope, rather than a season ender. How big a blow is that? Because obviously it's only, I think, 9 Premier League games now or 8 Premier League games until the World Cup break. If it's just that Kamara misses those 8, how big of a blow would that be?
I think it's a blow to the evolution of Villa, which we haven't seen much of yet, to be honest, from last season into this. But I know we've signed Bednarik and Dendonka on deadline day to bolster the squad a little bit. But Diego Carlos and Boubacar Kamara were the signings that were supposed to evolve us, I think. And if both of them are missing for a length of time, it means that Steven Gerrard has got to get more of a tune out of the players that he got from last season, which I still don't think is a bad squad. But it is concerning because, you know, we were raving about him, weren't we? You know, he's probably still over the course of the first... How many games have you played now, Dan? Seven?
Six or seven. Seven, I think.
Yeah, over the first... The course of whatever many games you've played, he probably has
several.
Been...
Several.
Yeah, several. He probably has been the best player, I think, if you look at it across those games as a whole. Probably been the most consistent player. Although I think probably Mings is probably... Being one of the most consistent as well. And I'm sure we'll talk about the way he played tonight as well. Mm-hmm. It is a blow. I don't think we missed him tonight particularly because I don't think Southampton were that much of an attacking threat that the defence alone couldn't contend with them. I thought Douglas Luiz came on, was very casual, to be honest, but still had enough to keep any limited Southampton attacks at bay. So it is disappointing. It is frustrating. It's frustrating for the lad as well because,
definitely.
I mean, take him to the Premier League pretty quickly, you know, forcing his way into that France squad at a time where it's an exciting time for him, for club and country. I just hope it's, you know, Gerrard fearing the worst so that anything, if it's just 3 weeks or 4 weeks, it becomes a bonus. But yeah, it's frustrating, it's annoying. I think he's right, if that's the phrase that he's used, that all the good bits are coming at a cost at the moment. That is a real pain because, you know, what was the other win? Everton? Everton got the 3 points and we got a serious injury. It's like we got 3 points at home again and another potentially serious injury. It's a real pain in the arse. What can I say that? Because I arse. It's after the watershed, isn't it, tonight?
Oh, it's certainly after the watershed, almost until the next day. The next day is watershed.
Can we mark this up as Claret and Blue at XXX rated tonight if I'm going to drop naughty words like arse?
I mean, we might have to at this rate. I'm just trying to find the Premier League table very quickly. It's 7 games for us. I just like the kind of generalisation of Gerrard. So like every time we win, we seem to get a bad injury. It's like, well, we've won 2 games. One of those was tonight. So
Stephen, that's your excuse for not winning. Okay, all right.
It's a small sample size, literally 2 games. 2 games, 2 injuries. 2 wins, 2 injuries. It's frustrating, isn't it? Like you said, for Kamara and obviously for Villa as well, because he's a key cog to the midfield. He's already struggling. Like, you know, the midfield isn't great with him in there in terms of the balance and stuff. So without him, we're kind of back to square one again. Obviously, it is a couple of weeks now with international break. And it's Leeds, Forest, Chelsea, Fulham, Brentford, Newcastle, Man United and Brighton. And then we've got the World Cup break and we play again Boxing Day. So in terms of game time, he might miss if it is a 6 to 8 weeker. It's probably not that bad. It's probably come at a good time to get a 6 week injury with the breaks that we've got. But yeah, obviously not ideal. And we'll wait to hear further information from Villa in the next day or two, hopefully. Dendonka's debut, I suppose, is a decent kind of segue in because he's probably the natural replacement to come in for Kamara. Didn't do a fat lot when he came on, to be fair, but I mean, Villa didn't as a whole, really. Is there anything you've seen in that, I don't know how long it was, 20-minute cameo that you thought, yeah, that's all right, or no, he's not good enough?
I thought he did bits, didn't he? He broke,
you know, won a couple of headers, yeah.
Interceptions. He obviously brings a bit more height to our midfield than we've had for a while. Since Jedinak, potentially. So I just thought he was it's really, really bad. But the fact that he didn't do much wrong, he didn't notice him much, suggests that he didn't do much wrong. But I don't think he was on the ball that often either, was he? I think Villa, again, Villa probably a bit like, I can't remember what match it was. Was it the Everton? I know we had a wobble late on against Everton, but I thought the most of that half was pretty controlled without really going anywhere. And I thought tonight was the same. I just didn't. It's very, very rarely a back filler to hold on to a 1-0 and to win 1-0. But I felt quite comfortable and quite confident. And I suppose the greatest tribute you could play Den Donker is that he came on and was able to help Villa bottle it up and see out the game, really.
Yeah.
I think we'll see a lot more from him. I think he'll be tested a lot more
definitely.
In future weeks.
So as a sign of our kind of control to an extent in Gerrard's substitutions, that we're all, for the most part, I know, all clearly kind of attacking substitutions of to try and go and get the second goal, because I always still did think at 1-0, Southampton just get a free kick on the edge of the area, James Ward-Prowse scores, it's 1-1, and we'll come away going, we've not played great, but we've kind of thrown away a win there. But, you know, brought Ings on, brought Buendia on, Louise came on as well at one point. So I thought we were going for it to some extent, but there's still not enough to... We've said, didn't we, after the Man City game, that the performance there showed that we are capable of certain things, playing on the counter with a bit of pace and balls over the top. It kind of does work to an extent, but I still kind of worry if we have to break a side down and take the game to them, can we do that? The opportunity was to do that tonight at home, Friday night on TV against a pretty average at best Southampton side. And we didn't really do that. We weren't able to break them down. I thought we were wayward with crosses. I think Bailey, one I wanted to talk about quickly, your thoughts on him. It feels like he needs 3 or 4 touches rather than when 1 or 2 would be good enough in time. You've said a lot of times about wingers being flaky and stuff. And I saw a tweet from somebody saying, you know, wingers are a bit like that. But if they have a good 10-minute spell, that could win you the game if they score a goal or whatever. But if they don't have that 10-minute spell, Leon Bailey is a bit of a passenger.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of occasions where when Villa are playing slow and methodical, I don't think it suits Bailey. I think he needs to play fast-paced and
on the counter, yeah. So
when he's got a slower defender down and turn him inside,
I think he overthinks it.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's his best thing. And there was, I think, one of his best moments of the first half was where he didn't come back on his left. He just crossed first time, I think, on his right. I thought he was a bit flat. You know, I suppose you've got to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's still not played a great number of Premier League games.
There's definitely talent in there.
In a row. Raving about him and the way he sacrificed himself for the team against Manchester City and worked really hard for the team. So, you know, listen, he wasn't the only one. I thought it was, you know, I thought it was probably most of the team getting 6 out of 10s tonight, which 6 out of 10s were enough to beat. I mean, I've not looked at Ashley's player ratings, to be honest. I don't know who he gave man of the match. Probably be Mings or McGinn for me, I'd have thought.
Yeah, what do you think of McGinn? I've seen a lot of stuff on social media, just browsing Twitter on the way back in the car. There's a lot of people saying John McGinn's still the weak link and he really lets us down and this kind of thing. Well, I thought he was... Oh, God. It's probably his best game of the season so far, but I don't think that says a lot because I don't think he was that great and he's not been great all season. I think that was his best game so far.
Yeah,
is being harsh or is that fair?
I think you're right. It's a low bar because he's not been what we want him to be and what we think he can be. But I thought he was good. I thought he put his foot in. He tried. I think he's better playing off the left.
He won a couple of tackles early on and that kind of set the tone. I think the biggest chant of the night for his name went up when he had a bit of a scrap with one of the Southampton players and kind of all kicked off a little bit. And he's like, oh, that's kind of all kicked us into life. And we spoke about this after the Man City game. It does kind of need that kind of stuff sometimes to kind of kick everyone into gear. But I feel like we're at the level now where winning a couple of challenges early doors to rile the crowd up, we need a bit more than that.
Yeah, but we won the game, didn't we?
I don't want to get too downbeat.
He's played way back into form as well. You know, he's been hooked off by Gerrard in the last couple of games. Yeah. Where he's a proud man, and having that captaincy probably weighs heavily on him, and he wants to be part of a successful team, and he wants to justify the manager's faith in giving him that. So you've got to let him build his way back into form as well. And if him building his way back into form is him tearing around and setting the tempo and giving us those moments that kind of lift the crowd a little bit, you know, let's use that as a stepping stone for him as well.
Yeah, of course.
For the team.
I mean, there's comments that are contrasting opinion. Just back on Bailey quickly. First comment said amazing dribbling and that he was easily man of the match. Bailey was amazing. And then followed up by Joshua, who said Bailey really frustrated me. So those two, totally opposite. And then exactly the same for McGinn. McGinn's passing was poor. McGinn's passing was really off tonight from two different people. And then Tombo, Mings, I read it wrong. I thought they said McGinn. But there was one from Alan who said Mings was better, yes, but more needed. So again, you either think he's decent or not good enough. Say again.
Sounds like the conversation I had with my nephew over my shoulder who sits behind me. And he said, he's digging out McGinn for something. I said, I don't know what you want. This was like after about half an hour. I think McGinn let a ball roll out or took a loose touch near the touchline. He was slagging off McGinn. And I said, McGinn's the best player on the pitch. And he said, don't be silly. Bailey's the best player on the pitch. And I was like, are we watching different games?
That is football, isn't it? The answer is Tyrone Mings. I think was probably Villa's best player. So you're both wrong. The comment from the Villa Talks podcast, I think that he says McGinn's second half was good, but it was mainly breaking up play. He struggled when he really had a chance to play the through balls. I think that is the thing. McGinn kind of wins possession back and then gives it away by either losing possession himself or giving away a wayward pass. And you think, you've done the hard bit. It's then moving on to a more talented player, in quotation marks, to then go and create something.
Yeah, I'm not the kind of John McGinn kind of... I'm not his kind of defence barrister or whatever tonight, but what I would say is McGinn would probably be the one who'd be more inclined to play those probing passes and those adventure passes sometimes, more so than others around him. So he probably...
Yeah, that's not really running his game, is it?
But yeah, I think over the course of the game, I think Mings was the man of the match because you never ever looked in danger. Shad must have had the most frustrating night of his life because McGinn won absolutely everything. I think, was it you or somebody, might be in the car on the way back, said that he won 100% of his heading duels tonight?
And on the floor as well, I've seen somewhere. 100% of tackles and 100% of aerial duels he won.
Yeah. So I think he was, I think he probably was. And like you say, the reward was a clean sheet, which has been a long time coming.
Ashley's player ratings quickly. Martinez 6, Young 7. Consa 7, Mings 8 with a little star, so that's man of the match. Dean 7, McGinn 7, Kamara 6, Ramsey 6, Bailey 5, Coutinho 7, Watkins 5, Douglas Luiz 6, Brendier 6, Dendonka 6, Danny Ings not applicable, didn't play enough minutes.
I've had a few more sixes in there, I think.
Yeah, a few too many sevens.
I thought Watkins was okay as well, without being brilliant. He didn't have much. He didn't have much to go off, did he? To be honest,
One thing I wanted to mention. I will come back to Watkins quickly. Just what Ash said about Mings: strong, physical, and everything you expect Tyrone Mings to be. With the defender aggressive both on the deck and in the air, didn't give Southampton a sniff and continued his decent streak of form, commanding and didn't put a foot wrong. Just on Watkins, the thing for me when Watkins isn't quite clicking, and I didn't think he was. I think 5 is probably a bit too harsh, maybe 5.5, if that's better. Barely. When it's not working and you've only got Danny Ings on the bench, you can't make a like-for-like swap because Danny Ings can't play up front on his own either. So if Watkins isn't working, you kind of look at the bench and go, well, Danny Ings is a proven goal scorer, not Aston Villa, but elsewhere in his career. And you think, well, can't really go like-for-like here because Ings can't play up front on his own. So Ings has to come on alongside Watkins and that doesn't really solve the problem either. So you do kind of think if Watkins isn't working and isn't quite on form in terms of being in front of goalies, you know, his hold-up play might be good, but he's got to be in the box and scoring goals to be classed as a good striker. You do worry about have we got the options to change it to actually physically make a difference.
Yeah, listen, I think it's a good save for the goal, wasn't it, from Watkins' header? So I think he could have been on the score sheet and he could have been the match winner tonight. And it's one of those ones where if we'd have conceded a last-minute goal, or we hadn't have scored that goal, you know, 5 minutes before half-time, whenever it was, we'd all be digging out probably absolutely every player. But I'm probably in a mood where I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because we got over the line and we won the game. I thought it was drab, but it was a 3 points drab.
Yeah, and that's all I'm really, really bothered about at the moment. You haven't got to kind of build that up. You know, with Forest, Leeds, Chelsea, Brentford, Fulham, you'd still be looking at that and going, there's an opportunity there for points if Villa start playing well. And if you look back to Man City, and I think, obviously we know why games were postponed, but I think if we'd have played Leicester and beat them, we might have seen a better performance with more momentum tonight, and then maybe, you know, things are slightly different in terms of the performance. But it's 3 points. That's all you can really do. I don't want to complain too much, because if I was watching the podcast and they were complaining after winning a game, I think, come on, come cheer up. But I'm also still not fully convinced, going, oh yeah, this is all rosy and everything's perfect, because that's also not true. I'm trying to find kind of a middle ground between the two.
You know, my favourite bit of the night, and it's probably on your list anyway.
Go on, guess.
Just them turning the lights off at the start.
Well, I want to get to that in a second, though. I was going to leave that till the end. Go on then, do it now. Talk about the Queen.
Let me talk about the Queen. I'll talk about the Queen in a minute, but I want to talk about turning the lights off. I thought it was like really nice. It was like, I know why you can't do it, because I sit on the upper Trinity near the front, and I'd end up tumbling over the front and kind of landing on the people below me. So I understand why the lights can't be off. But that pitch looks so special. We like the little kind of mobile phones sparkling around the four stands as well. I just wonder, you know, like when you're at the cinema and you have a little usher with a torch, should have that, who just kind of brings you into your seat? Because it's like if you're at the theatre and all the lights are on the stage and not on the crowd, it's like that. I just thought, I've never really seen Villa Park like that. And I think if you're all going through a kind of energy crisis, what better way of saving money than turning all the lights off and just letting those little kind of performers perform out there on the air? Just felt like really, I don't know, just made Villa Park seem even more beautiful than it normally is.
Yeah, the pictures of it look really nice as well. Some of the pictures in our archives from this evening look, you know, the stadium looks really, really good. You know who the usher would be, if that was a thing?
Who would the usher be?
McDowell. Yeah, McDowell would be key for that, wouldn't he? He'd absolutely love that. Yeah, it was a nice special moment. Like you said, I've never seen Villa Park do anything like that before. I've never seen the national anthem at Villa Park, as long as I can remember.
That was bad as well, wasn't it? Because you've got this
strange,
you know who she was? You've got this kind of classical trained singer who's coming out and belting in, God save our gracious king. And then he's like me and a load of hairy ass brummies going, joining in, like, long live and noble king. And if she had to choose a backing choir, she wouldn't choose us, like, would she? But it was like really powerful, wasn't it? We kind of really
good, yeah. It out.
I didn't know Villa Park was that patriotic, to be honest. But it was.
No, I said, like, I don't think I've ever even seen the national anthem at football. So I don't go to England games. My dad was like, oh, they've had it at cup finals that Villa have been to. And I was like, oh, I've kind of erased that from my memory. Certainly not happened at Villa Park. And yeah, all the lights going off, the minute silence was. There was a couple of bits you could hear in the stadium. I've seen it back on the TV since I got home, and you can't hear anything. There's a couple of bits, which I assume is latecomers still outside the stadium and people in the concourse, which is very, very minor, the 0.1%. But the rest of the stadium, really well done. Like you said, the lights from the cameras on the phones. Nice. And the 70-minute applause as well, kind of another little go of the national anthem. Yeah, really nice. Obviously, sad circumstances, and we've not really spoken about it on the podcast much, because obviously it's a football podcast, but it's a thing that's touched the whole country. And I think Villa being the first Premier League match to do that, being on TV tonight, hopefully there'll be a lot of, I mean, there won't be many neutral fans who have stayed for the rest of the game after that, but hopefully a lot of neutral fans will have seen Villa and Southampton do that at Villa Park tonight and gone, oh, they've kind of set the standard for how to pay respects with 40,000 there. It was really good.
Yeah, I think we've done Wilsey's nan proud, haven't we?
Yeah.
I think it was a really kind of poignant moment. I'll probably ruin it now by going on to the, so I can't remember who it was. Somebody on Twitter, I put, why can't we turn the lights off every week? And some wag on Twitter said, I bet that's what Mrs. Kendrick says. Cheers for that, mate. Yeah. Like I said, I think I've been in Villa Park so many times and seeing it in glorious sunshine. Oops, I've just whacked my light. Seeing it in glorious sunshine. I've seen it under the lights. I've seen it when it's, you know, there's snow on the pitch and all this kind of thing. I've never seen it like that before with just that little bit of a pitch showing. It's something new.
Even some little bits around the edges. Well, I don't want to go too far into this, because I said I was trying to keep this short. We are going to hit half an hour in a sec. But even like the managers walking their teams out is something that you don't see at a home game. And the players coming out with no music was also quite strange. I was almost kind of like, oh, they're out. I didn't even know they were coming, kind of thing. Just a nice little
No, I thought Villa did a really good job on it.
Nice little tribute, yeah.
I thought it was presented really well. It was really, really, got it bang on, I thought.
Yeah. Back to the football, and this is why I wanted to leave. That's kind of touching nice end to the podcast, because now we're going to go up to the nonsense of the football. Another thing that I noted down that I wanted to talk about, because it's funny, and I thought it would be good podcast fodder, Danny Ings' effort from the halfway line in the last minute.
Do you remember when Bailey scored the goal against Everton and Danny Ings just played a kind of crossfield ball fairly blind and it's been perfect? I'd have got it closer than that, would you?
Well, somebody, I don't know whether they watched the podcast, but somebody that sits near me said it was like the halftime game and they just got a fan up there to have a go at it. And that's how bad it was. I was just going to try and get to them and say I'm going to nick that for the podcast because it made me and my dad laugh. I mean, if they had that effort from the halfway line, they would have at least won their height in whatever beer sponsors Aston Villa for that effort. It's another thing that you don't see very often, that the keeper comes up and you actually get a chance to have a bit of a break off the back of it. And Danny Ings, you think, oh, probably one of the better players to have an attempt at this if someone is going to have an attempt rather than an Ashley Young or Luca Dean or Tyra Mings or whatever. They probably would have done better, to be honest. But for Danny Ings to have that go against Southampton, who obviously gets a bit of stick off because of leaving them. Yeah, not a great effort, but I was just like, can you imagine what that would have felt like to just see it trickle over the line or just about bounce in and we win 2-0 and that's the second goal? What a great, great moment that would have been.
It's something a fan would do. You don't see many, obviously, I think Petrov did the halfway line one, didn't he? You don't see many players do that, dear, because you see
they don't do it, do they?
And they just kind of keep onto the ball or whatever, or hold the ball. So to take a kind of wild swing at it is a very kind of fan thing to do. Hey, what happened to that game? Because I thought that was a new introduction, but they didn't do it this time, did they?
I wondered whether they would just stop not doing the light-hearted stuff today because of the circumstances.
Yeah.
Like a little somber atmosphere, and then like, oh, here's Dave who's going to have a go at a penalty and fall on his backside or whatever.
You think that was agreement across the board with both teams? We can't do any kind of entertainment tonight. It's somber and as serious as possible. Speaking of Dave, I met somebody called Dave today, just at the Upper Trinity. I think he'd had a few, to be honest, but he was very, very friendly and he's an avid listener. So I promised Dave a shout out. And then I was walking back. Oh, where was I walking? I'm not going to give away my location. I don't want anybody to steal my parking space. But there was a guy called Ray as well who said that he's an avid listener. He's not really asked about the football. Well, that's three arses now. Four arses? Five arses? He's not. I didn't get the memo about keeping this somber, did I? He's not really bothered about the football chat, but he likes when we go onto weird little segues and stuff. So, speaking of weird little segues, what do you think? Have you had a go on those little scooters that have been left around?
Are you going to say that? No, I haven't, but we walked past a few of my granddaddy's in his old age. Now, it's very slow walking to him from the stadium. He always says, we've got to slow down, don't walk too fast and all this kind of stuff. We walked past one of those scooters on the way there. And I was like, oh, granddad, jump on this. You'll whiz yourself down there. And he was like, no, I'm not doing that.
How do they work? You just like put your card on them and they give you like an hour's energy or something.
I had a quick look and it said something about like downloading an app. So I think you have to like sign in or something, and maybe I'm not paying for that.
Hey, speaking of old men, who are struggling to get to and from Villa Park, my dad goes up those steps to the top of the Trinity. He's wheezing a little bit by the time he gets to the top, but I think that's pretty good. He's 70-odd men. How old is my dad? 71, coming up 72. So big shout out to old Martin.
Yeah, fair play to him. Yeah, I don't know where this is going. There's a couple of other little bit of serious points I wanted to mention. Let's try and wrap this up in three topics, all right? Because I didn't want this to go too long.
And we're always heading to. Are you staying there tonight?
I'm staying here, luckily, which is why I'm happy to kind of keep going to a certain extent. Two press conference lines from Gerrard and Marvin to Sky and McGinn. Have you seen them, or do you want me to read them out? Shall I read them out for the sake of the listeners?
Yeah, read them out. I think one of the lads was playing in the back on the car, but I was only half listening.
Okay, so Stephen Gerrard, it wasn't pretty. I don't think many would have enjoyed that, but for me and for us, it's a big victory. From a personal point of view, I've been guilty of trying to move it forward too quickly. Maybe it's a slower process. Maybe it's going to take a bit more time. I'll do McGinn's as well, because they're basically from the same point of view. He said it's huge, the win. We've been criticised this season for not grafting, but tonight we fought for every ball. It wasn't pretty. If I was watching on the television, I would have turned it off. We graft week in, week out, but it's a waste of time if we don't perform at the weekend. Now, I'm inclined to agree with the sentiments, but I also think, what does that say if you're the captain of the side says that football was so drab, I wouldn't have watched it as a neutral. You're playing in it. Do something about it. Make it more entertaining then. But oh yeah, I'm inclined to agree that it's not so much about the performance to a certain extent, and it's all about the 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's the phrase, you can't put lipstick on a pig, can you? I mean, what, how are they supposed to dress it up? They can't say, you know, it was scintillating.
If they said, it was a good result, a good performance, and we'd made a few chances, we'd all be going, you're talking rubbish there. That wasn't a great game.
Well, yeah, I'd say I've been guilty of moving it forward too quickly.
Yeah, I've been guilty of trying to move it forward too quickly. Maybe it's a slower process. Maybe it'll take more time. And he said something similar after Man City about, you know, kind of taking it on personally, and I'm trying to maybe do too much at once.
Yeah, you can't say his team's been guilty of moving the ball forward too quickly, can you?
I don't really know what that quote means, because I've not seen anything change. Against Man City, it was a change of tactics and we were going on the counter, and you could clearly see it was different to what we'd seen so far. Whereas today was what we saw before Man City, the three in midfield, Coutinho out wide. We've seen that before.
I don't know, is it his fullbacks not quite committing themselves possibly. So much, and perhaps not leaving themselves so open and so vulnerable that way? Is that
possibly
the change that we've seen? I think in a wider perspective, I think he's just saying, I don't know, just taking some responsibility and just a bit of self-appraisal, saying, I've not got this thrust, I'm still learning.
I think it's just a case of be solid first. We've kept the clean sheet. We've won the game, which is, you know, 1-0 is a nice scoreline. You've not conceded. You've won by one. Nice and simple. But the football isn't great. But like Nate says here, he was talking about playing pretty football, going back to basics, which, again, if things aren't going well for you, that's what you can do. Go back to basics first and foremost. Get the clean sheet. Get Aston Villa nil first and then build from there. So if that keeps grinding out results and Villa start moving up the league table, will all his fans go, we'll kind of put the performances to one side for a second, and that will be something that comes with Steven Gerrard down the line 2 or 3 years as manager, potentially, and building some kind of project rather than just thinking it has to be now or never. I think we've also, as fans, are a little bit guilty of being impatient, and we do kind of have to win now, but maybe...
Yeah, there ain't many managers to build the front six before they build the back five, though, is there? So I think getting that solid unit, getting full-backs probably who defend first. You know, it's weird, isn't it? Because we've had Ashley Young in there who has to conserve his energy because he's an old man. So, you know, he has to pick his times when he gets forward. And whereas Matty Cash plays gung-ho and a lot of the attacking kind of impetus comes from him, which does leave us vulnerable at the back. So, what else were we going to say? I've had enough now, have you?
A couple of bits. Again, just Douglas Luiz. Douglas Luiz's corner is funny, isn't it? Again, at this point.
Didn't it sound like we were booing him, though, when everyone was shouting, shoot?
I did wonder whether the language barrier might have potentially made him think, I'm going to take a corner here. I've scored a couple of corners, guys. Why are you booing me for? Because it does sound a lot like boos.
That he actually does, though. Like, the first, one of his first involvements, and he puts, like, loads of kind of side spin on it and tries to bend it in the far corner again.
It's all very kind of Tony Pulis long throw, isn't it? Stoke City 2008 or whenever it was at that. He's like a tactic now. If Douglas Luiz is on the pitch and we've got a corner, there's a half decent chance he's going to at least kind of test the keeper here and win another corner, and maybe that's the one. I still don't think
I set pieces. Austin McPhee, you know, who stopped his move to Arsenal. I think Austin McPhee threw his like the bodyguard threw himself in front of Luiz. Because that's the best way of Austin McPhee getting his bonus, I think, by Douglas Luiz having shots. Same to the bloke next to me, because we got a free kick a little bit later that Coutinho had, I think, and smashed into the wall. Saying, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a free kick centre at the front, you know, like about 30 yards out, fairly central, or would you rather have a corner? And he said, well, let's hope that he hits his free kick and deflects for a corner. And we'll have a chance to score in there.
There's a comment here apparently that Jamie Carragher on comms thought that Villa fans were booing. I don't know whether that's true or not. I'll just have to take that as the truth. And it does sound like boos, but it definitely was shoot from everybody all out of sync, and it just kind of sounds like a boo. But yeah, Doug's always will score a couple of corners again, I would have thought. So it's a good kind of thing to have up our sleeve, as long as that isn't the only tactic, play for a corner and hope that he puts one in.
I had a hot dog tonight, by the way, from Smoky Joe's. I don't normally eat at the Villa. And nice. If I do eat, I probably should go further up to something a little bit more exotic. But I just had a...
Was it one of those big foot-long ones?
No, it was just a normal standard. I don't know.
Yeah, I had a foot-long one a couple of weeks ago. That was really good.
What's your... I know we're probably going to old territory. What's your condiment on hot dog?
Tomato sauce. I don't like mustard.
Oh, I'm a mustard man, I am.
But if I was having like a sausage, like a throw-up sausage, I'd have brown sauce, not tomato.
Yeah, if I was having...
On a hot dog.
I'd have brown sauce on a sausage sandwich, but I'd have ketchup or mustard on a hot dog.
Yeah, interesting. The very last thing I wanted to talk about was Martinez minutes. I texted you this during the game, so I didn't forget it.
What are you going on about?
Martinez minutes, let's get that copyrighted, because Martinez comes to his own in the final kind of 8 minutes of a game, the last 5 minutes plus stoppage time. Somebody, he went down for an injury again, which is what we saw against Man City. Somebody on WM on the radio on the way back was saying, oh, Martinez went down injured. I was fearing the worst. He's pointing to his thigh, and I was thinking, it's the same thing we saw against Man City. It was just like, it wasn't this barrage of onslaught from Southampton, but it was just the same time wasting, wasn't it?
Unless obviously not quite, but he managed to get himself a rousing rendition of kind of Emi Martinez. I don't think he's had a save to make. Wrong. He's come, you know, he's had to, the most difficult crosses is when he's had to kind of jump over Ezri Konsa or whatever to get the ball, but he hasn't had too much to do. But he's managed to get hero worship just by falling over in the box with what we think is a bit of a fake injury, and then just giving it loads to the north stand. Does he ever give it loads to the halt end, or is it because he's always towards the end of the game?
He turns back to the north stand if we're down that end, but at the end of the game and all the players go over and they're singing whatever it was, he was kind of giving it in time with whatever they were singing. Like, was it Sweet Caroline? That's not Sweet Caroline anymore, is it? I don't know. It's been a long night, to be honest. I don't really know what's going on anymore. But yeah, how he's not been booked more often for stuff like that with obvious time wasting, and like when he kind of clutches the ball to his chest and falls to the floor slowly and sits on it for a little bit and things like that. And like I said, it's not kind of breaking up any Southampton momentum, but it's annoying, isn't it? It's that all their players will be going, we know he's obviously fine. Like, it's just getting in their heads a little bit. And if that was happening against us, I'd be fuming as a fan and as a player. So
I thought the ref was decent tonight, did you?
He's all right. There's not much, like, I didn't note it down of, oh, we've got to talk about this referee decision. So I suppose that puts him in the good category.
For now. Anyway, I thought he let it become a physical contest where it needed to be. Mm. He booked a couple, didn't he? I think he booked.
High Aston Villa, of course it was, yeah.
It was what?
High Aston Villa, so he kind of, in time with that, he was giving it to the whole end at the end. But yeah, that's pretty much it in terms of the football. Yeah, nothing on my little notes I scribbled down in the car that I wanted to mention. The Kamara stuff is kind of the thing we'll wait on, and we'll do another podcast in the next few days if we hear an announcement on that. Obviously, it's a couple of weeks now till the next game, but that's everything from Southampton, unless you've got any more shout-outs you want to get through.
No, what are you doing over the weekend? Because it's a Friday night and our Villa victory's won. Weekend starts here.
I'm working tomorrow. Bloody Steve Wollaston, if he's watching this. Put me down on the rotors and I'm doing this at midnight. I'm working, I think, 12 till 8 or something, so I'm staying over here tonight, going out for an early morning walk with dog, and then back home to work, and then Sunday, I don't know, shopping and boring adult stuff, probably.
Sounds great.
What are you doing? Anything more fun than that?
I won't go watch Alzo in town tomorrow afternoon, actually. I might go watch the Yachts. They've started the season in some style, I think.
Why in the FA Cup?
So... Tomorrow. Christ knows, I don't know.
Because some people are playing the FA Cup second qualifying round or something, so I don't know how Zona is still in that.
I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to go drinking in Lye tomorrow night with my mates.
More Lye?
Because there's some decent kind of old man pubs around the edge of Lye. So we'll probably go down there and have a curry.
Apologies to anyone who lives in Lye, by the way, for my comment. Not for my comments and for living there.
Horrible.
I almost moved to Lye, to be fair. I did look at a house there, but change my mind. Anyway.
So I'm going to go for a few drinks. I mean, I'm not going, but my daughter's going to see Villa Ladies versus Manchester City. Women versus Manchester City on Sunday. So shout out to...
Should we call it a day?
I think so, mate. I think so. God, it's 10 past midnight.
I know. I did want to try and finish this at midnight and do half an hour, but we've run over with talk of hot dogs and condiments and all the kind of nonsense.
Yeah, I think, man, get to bed.
Yeah, I'm working tomorrow, but we couldn't do this tomorrow, and I didn't want to wait till Monday, so I thought, let's just get it out of the way on Friday night and do it. But, yeah, there's 350 people still now at the end. So fair play to everyone for watching. If you're watching this on catch up, you can get involved in the YouTube comments and on Spotify and all those kind of things. Like I said, we'll do another podcast on probably Tuesday now, I suppose, because obviously it's bank holiday on Monday, so we won't do anything then. Kind of look at the Kamara injury, if we've heard more on that, kind of reflect on the next couple of games and assess the performance in a bit more detail. Maybe get Pat and Ash or John and people like that to actually talk about what we've seen rather than the nonsense that you and me have just talked about for 45 minutes. Thanks everyone for watching live still at this hour. We appreciate your support as always. Matt, thank you for your time and your generosity. Generosity of your time is where I was going with that.
All right.
You didn't have to do this, basically, so thank you for it.
No, we do it for the love of it.
Okay. All right, thanks everyone for watching. We'll see you again in a few days.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue and Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please do let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode, but until then, up the Villa.